So I have to share this with you. I know this is kind of like our Christmassy episode. Well, it's like 2 days before Christmas that this comes out. So happy Christmas Eve to everybody that's listening on Wednesday when it comes out. So we're scouring for Christmas stories. And I found this little thing. It's on Reddit. This guy goes, my mother couldn't find pineapple to make with the ham on Thanksgiving Eve, so she used bananas.
No.
What?
Why?
No, what? No one ate it. A beautiful spiral ham, perfectly cooked with a very strong banana flavor.
I don't understand.
What? Like,
to me, that is so clearly someone who has no instincts about cooking whatsoever, which is always shocking to me when I meet people who I'm like, yes. Wait, what?
Do you know how flavor works? Oh my God.
He goes, that was 20 plus years ago, and I call her every year to ask her if she's making banana ham.
Poor thing. She's never going to live it down. Oh, poor thing.
Never. Never.
Oh my God, banana ham.
You know, that reminds me of the conversation I was having with you guys yesterday about Oreos.
Oh my God. So, we were laughing so hard about that. We're like, wait, what?
Because
they don't even taste like graham crackers.
It was like blowing my mind. What? Okay. Because like Anthony doesn't eat chocolate because he's like, it breaks me out. He says he's allergic, but I think he's just like concerned that it like breaks his skin out. So he tries to really avoid eating chocolate. But we were making, it occurred to me, like, he really likes cookies and cream because we were getting ready to make cookies and cream fudge. And so we bought an entire thing of Oreos. Of course, I have yet to make the fudge and now have to buy another thing of Oreos because we have eaten most of the Oreos. But he was just going, going to town on these Oreos, right? And I was like, I thought you didn't eat chocolate. Like, why are you making an exception for all of these Oreos? And he was like, Oreos aren't chocolate. And I was like, what? And he was like, Oreos aren't chocolate. And I was like, what do you think they are? And so I got the package out and I like looked at the ingredients and I'm like, yeah, it says cocoa right there. Like, what did you think made them brown? And he was like, I don't know. I thought they were graham crackers. I was like, well, why are they brown?
Wild.
Bless his heart. That's amazing.
The stories we tell ourselves.
Oh, my God.
In the mental gymnastics we do in order to consume something we love.
Dude, well, the funny thing is, too, is like, I guess it could be because it's not milk chocolate, right? So maybe it's just milk chocolate. And you know,
I feel like that's a stretch. I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on what he thinks is in chocolate that is causing him to break out. Like, is it the cocoa? Right. Is it the sugar? Like, what is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a little bit of mental gymnastics.
For sure.
I'm here for it, though. I do it all the time. So
yeah. Oh, totally.
These aren't chocolate. Sure.
These are diet cookies.
They are vegan.
Speaking of cookies and cream fudge, which I want some.
Oh, for sure.
By the way.
Okay.
I found a post on Instagram for something. I literally like stopped what I was doing. It gave me a heart murmur because I was like, oh my God, how did I not know these exist? And how do I not have them right now? Pecan pie brownies.
Oh, dude, I've saved some of those in my Pinterest. Like pecan pie, anything. I have saved
pecan
it.
Pecan pie is my fucking favorite.
Mm, you know,
and that combined with brownies, stop.
I really want to make pecan pie bars. So they're like pecan pie, but they're in that like sheet pan. Because I'm like, oh man, I bet the distribution of like bottom crust to pecan pie filling is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And this has become a food podcast again. We must be hungry.
Welcome back to Eating with My Worst Date.
I'm Keegan.
And I'm Christina. And that's what we were talking about before we started recording. It's like there are like few things to be excited about these days now that we're like completely locked down again. So it's like different foods we can make because you're still allowed to go to the grocery store. So I have never spent so much money on food in my fucking life.
Amen.
Ever.
we have that, and then there's days packages come and days packages don't come.
You want to know what my big...
That's pretty much what you can wrap up the whole year with.
Yeah, my big event for today is I'm making candied almonds. So that's my big thing today, is that I'm going to make candied almonds. There's literally nothing else on the docket. Like, I woke up this morning and, like, did my hair and put makeup on for no reason. I'm not going anywhere. It's just, like, I need something to differentiate my weekdays from my weekends. Like, that's it, you know?
Yeah, no, yesterday I spent entirely too long making barbacoa from scratch. Just because
now's the time. Just so, like, now is the time. Have you ever wanted to try complicated braided bread recipe? Now's your moment, okay? Like, Jesus. It's cold.
Eric's growing dill, and he's like,
nice.
He's like, we've got all this dill now. What do I even have dill for? I'm like, why did you grow dill? It's not like he hates it, but he's just like, now we just have all this fucking dill.
It's not a practical herb.
What do you do with dill?
And it is...
It's good for fish?
It's like, maybe? It's not a practical herb, and it is one of those herbs that grows, like, out of control. Right. So if you start... That's why I didn't grow it, because I'm like, I thought about growing my own dill because I was growing my own cucumbers, and I was like, I can make my own dill pickles. But then I was like, I'm only ever going to use it for pickles and, like... And then I'm going to have just a bush one of time. Dill. Like, it's going to strangle out all my
exactly
other herbs.
That's where we're at right now. And he just ordered a bunch of mason jars because he's like, we can pickle a bunch of stuff. I'm like,
oh, man.
Is this life now? Is this what we've been reduced to?
You know,
here's where we
are. It's so cyclical because I do feel like we are back in the mindset of the beginning stages, partially because it is cold again. And it was whenever lockdown started the first time, so mentally I think we're like back in that sphere, but 100% I am back to looking at things to can and things to bake. Like, I'm back in homesteading mindset. It like lapsed over the summer, and I'm fully back in now, committed.
Man.
I have been crocheting again, so
you have
that's
been
my homesteading.
I was just about to ask, like, what else is going on? But it's literally nothing.
I do have something to bring up for you guys, because I heard this and I was like, that's something we should discuss on the podcast. So I'm sure all of the American listeners know. I don't know about any of our listeners overseas, our international listeners, whether or not how appraised they keep of American politics. But there was this woman who went viral, like, a little while ago, by the time this episode comes out, probably almost a month ago or 3 weeks ago. She went viral because she was at a hearing for voter fraud, and she had that, she sounded drunk as hell. She had that messy bun, those glasses on, and she was like, I signed something that said that if I'm lying, I could go to jail. Did you sign that thing?
Did you sign it?
And how many dead people? How many dead people voted?
And she's since been like parodied on SNL and all these things. Like, it wild. Okay. But they've been kind of looking into her past. Her name is Melissa Carone, right? They have been looking into her past. Mm-hmm. And they found out that she was arrested. First of all, she claims to be an ethical hacker, which I think is a certified ethical hacker, which I think is hilarious. So, like, self-proclaimed.
You can't make up jobs like that. You can't just make shit up like
what
that.
Is a certified ethical hacker? Like, where did you get that certificate?
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. Like,
University of Phoenix.
But she ended up getting arrested for harassing her boyfriend's ex-wife in the form of sending her boyfriend's ex-wife sex tapes of them.
This doesn't feel like ethical hacking to
me. No, it certainly does not. So she was...
That is a level of petty that is so...
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Like, you're dating him now. Who cares?
Yeah, you quote unquote won... Although I have a hard time believing this is someone worth fighting over. But so she was recording them having sex together and then sending, like, and it was like a barrage. like constantly, like to the level of that harassment. Feels... Isn't that wild? Like, I'd never heard anything like that in my life.
That tracks for her. Actually, I wish I could say I was shocked, but that's, she's obviously like an unstable individual. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like her reasoning. I mean, just watching that hearing with her and Rudy Giuliani, I was like,
oof.
Oof. Like, is she being... Yes. Like facetious, or is this kind of a joke?
Nah, I think she's going on legit. But this love triangle also kind of made me cackle a little bit because, okay, so Melissa is sending this woman, Jessica, harassing sex tapes, right? And so Jessica ends up getting arrested as well because she pulled up in front of Melissa's home and Melissa has her baby on her hip and she starts yelling insults from her car. Jessica at Melissa and then starts throwing rocks at her.
Oh my
imagine
God.
If you were the neighbors. Like, if you were, like, it is the most wild.
There were five people out vacuuming their grass.
Dude, I wish I had been. Oh my God. That sounds like ultimate. Like,
who are these people?
People are posting stuff on the Worstie group now about vacuuming the grass.
Yes.
Just like, I own it, man. I am nosy as fuck. As soon as I hear like a raised voice, I like pause the TV.
Me too.
I'm like, drama? Drama? I've got Eric trained to do it now too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'd be in the shower and stuff like that. He's like, babe, mm-hmm. I think something's going on with the neighbors.
Oh,
like,
100%. Yeah, let me dry off real quick. I'm getting out. Hold on. Dude,
tell them to hold
my it. Neighbors fight all the time. I think I've talked about them on this podcast, but they're not a couple. It's like a father-son duo. Oh. And they're they must be from like New York or New Jersey because they have that very thick, like East Coast New York or New Jersey accent. And the shit they yell at each other about, I'm like, y'all, y'all need to separate. This isn't healthy.
Dude, family drama is intense. Like, couples fighting can be like, sometimes, but family drama is always chef's kiss, man. You get juicy with that.
Because they start like rolling out the big guns. They start like, they bring up shit from whenever you were 12. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they know you. They know who you are. They know where you come from. You will never get that kind of like dirt on somebody unless you've gone through like sleeping in a bunk bed with them. You know what I mean? Like, ugh, woof. The stuff that, you know, me, my sister, and brother can fight about, it's just like no one can hurt like that, you know?
Well, and I feel like a parent
deeper.
Is probably worse. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like, to argue with your parent, you're never going to win. Like, not really. You know?
No. Even winning is losing in that.
Yeah, 100.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Speaking of family drama, here's another one I found. And it is probably, I would think, if this happened to me, I would die.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay. When I was about 9, my family was in the car on the way to grandma's house for Christmas. My sister, about 4 at the time, piped up from the back seat and said, "One time I went into sister's room and she was moving her hand really fast under the covers like this."
No, 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 no,
and proceeds to shake around like a crazy person in her seat.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. And again, this is family. So it's not like you can even be like, okay, well, I'm never coming to school again. Like, you have to see these people for the rest of your life, maybe.
I want to die right now.
My parents thought it was hilarious and immediately started calling me Cinderella and sang a little song about it that still rears its head at family gatherings 20 years later.
I'm not coming home for Thanksgiving anymore. Sorry. Like,
no. this pandemic is the best thing that's ever happened to her. She's like, I can't.
I can't.
Must stay home.
Unless she had to move back home. What if that happened?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Never move back home, Cinderubby.
Oh no. Oh no.
That's horrible.
Talk about giving you a complex.
Forever. Yeah,
it's like all you're gonna be, you're just Cinderubby, Cinderubby every time you go to masturbate from now until the end of time.
Oh,
your sister ruins masturbation for you.
And the movie Cinderella. You'll never get to watch that again and feel okay. Yep. Like, Jesus. Wow.
God.
Well, that was horrible.
How hard would you try and find a way to retaliate against your sister? Like, for the rest of your life, you're looking for something. Dirt.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I had a lot of fun trying to dig for embarrassing holiday stories. Who should we fuck, marry, kill in honor of the holidays? This week
we could do Scrooge and the Grinch, and is there another grumpy Christmas character?
That's a good one.
Oh, let's do holiday villains.
Yeah, here, let me look. Well, we could do then like Bill Murray from Scrooged, which isn't quite the same. Mm-hmm. But let me see who played
but I think it counts.
Well, I mean, yeah, we could do Scrooged, Bill Murray mm-hmm. in Scrooged. So what's uh-huh. that character's name? So we can do that character. And then the character of Ebenezer Scrooge, the classic from Christmas Carol. And then the Grinch, if you wanted.
That's probably better.
Let's see. Frank Cross is his name from Scrooged.
So good. I can't wait to watch that movie.
That
again.
Movie.
It's one of my favorite holiday movies.
I haven't
movies.
Seen Scrooged in forever. That's really? So funny.
Oh, my God.
Not in a long time.
Love that movie.
Oh yeah,
I hadn't seen it until I was an adult. So it was like a few years ago.
Yeah,
I saw
sense.
It for the first time, and yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. Okay, so Frank Scott, aka Bill Murray,
I think Frank Cross,
and then
I thought it was Cross.
Yeah,
Frank Cross. Mm-hmm.
Frank Cross
from Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge and the Grinch. Fuck, marry, kill. Well, you get a really cute dog with the Grinch.
Yeah, okay. You know, I think I know what I'm going to do here. Hot take. It's going to be a hot take. I am going to just straight up kill Ebenezer Scrooge. I rewatched on Apple Plus, on Disney Plus, I rewatched the Disney Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol. And
yes.
You know what? He was just such an asshole. Like Ebenezer Scrooge, yeah, okay, he comes around at the end, whatever, whatever. But like throughout his life, like that doesn't really erase years of being like such a complete asshole. And also hashtag eat the rich. Like no one needs that much money. So I am going to just straight up kill him. Like no mm-hmm. need to keep him around. Actually, I might be changing my mind. I was going to actually marry the Grinch because here's the thing. The Grinch doesn't hate Christmas. He hates people. And he has good reason to hate people, right? He has a dog. He seems pretty happy with
himself.
He's
not catching the Rona.
Right. But that's the thing that has me maybe questioning whether or not I actually want to marry the Grinch, right? Because I'm like, this lockdown has actually taught me that maybe I don't want to live in a cave isolated from people for long periods of time. So that actually has to make me reevaluate this whole situation. But I can't just fuck the Grinch because that's gross.
Gross.
Like,
yeah.
There's really no way around it. Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. This totally has thrown a wrench into my plans. I'm going to have to reshuffle. I still hate Ebenezer Scrooge. I still hate him. But actually, I think I'm going to fuck him. Just get it out of the way. One quick one and done situation. I'm gonna go ahead and kill the Grinch, not because I don't think he has the right idea, because I do, but I can't live that way. I have learned there's not enough bread baking in the world that's actually going to keep me occupied. So unfortunately, he's got to go, and I will take his dog.
Yeah,
and then I guess I'll marry Bill Murray's character, even though I really don't like him in Scrooged. until the end, of course, because you're not supposed right. to. But also, like, there is this thing, this whole, like, redemption arc story that kind of, like, gets on my nerves. Where it's like, you didn't want to be a good person just to be a good person. You had to have, like, all nope. of this shit almost taken away from you before you could, like...
He encapsulates, like, everything that I hated about the 80s. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? That, like, sleazeball, workaholic, like... I just, yeah, I have to kill him. I mean, he literally is the worst. Even though he comes around in the end, it's still like kind of what you were saying about Ebenezer Scrooge. It's like, well, how does that make up for the years mm-hmm. of pain
yeah.
that you caused?
How many lives have you ruined along the way? I have to say, mm-hmm. you know, I keep going back and forth because like the Grinch is the purest of heart out of these three. And he has a heart that's three mm-hmm. sizes too small. So it's hard.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna marry the Grinch. You know, like I think that yes, it has been hard like living without people, but he does come around in the end, and he at least has a dog, which is nice. So
yeah, I guess by the end, you have the option to come down from the mountain and hang out with the Who's. So
yeah, and they seem pretty chill. The wacky hairstyles and
they
stuff,
like to sing so. In groups. That's nice.
Yeah, so they probably karaoke.
Oh, they sure do. Oh, you're making a good argument.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to marry the Grinch. And then I'll fuck Ebenezer Scrooge. I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's not going to be.
I feel like it's going to be cold. Gonna be like, every time I watch any iteration of A Christmas Carol, I'm like... Everything looks so cold. Like, you got this drafty nightdress on and like a bonnet cap.
Oh, fuck.
You're going to have to hike up that nightdress.
Somebody in a nightdress. Yeah.
Hike it up.
No. I changed my mind. I'm killing Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm gonna fuck.
You're going to fuck Bill Murray.
I'm sorry. I can't. I cannot. There. My pussy Wait. Is shut for a nightdress. It's not going to happen. No. And a cap. Who wears a cap to bed?
And it's That's so the weirdest cold. Thing. It's like you guys are wandering around. You're wandering around on like concrete floors with a single lit candle. I can't. It's so cold. Oh.
Oh my God. And you're rich?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's, exactly.
But okay, but he also has a quality. You know, I think I'm actually going to do the same thing as Christina for the same reasons. Because both Scrooged and Scrooge have a quality that I also really detest, which is when people are cheap. Like, it's one thing to be poor, like that's fine, but it's another thing to be cheap. Like, when you have the ability to do better and like you don't because you're hoarding wealth for some reason,
ungodly reason.
Yeah,
right?
And like that's what Scrooge does. It's like, dude, you have money but you don't even want to spend it to like keep your fires lit all night. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I'm probably going to have the hottest take, and I will be accepting the hate mail that I know I will receive. But I hate Dr. Seuss with a strong passion.
Not the hottest of takes. Yeah.
It's a strong burning dislike for anything Dr. Seuss. He gets on my nerves. It's anyway. Therefore, I have never seen The Grinch or how the Grinch Stole Christmas because I hate the rhymey timey nonsense.
Oh my God.
And so
rhymey timey nonsense is the name of this
Jesus.
Episode for sure.
So aggressive.
Happy holidays. I'm killing the Grinch because I couldn't tell you one thing about him other than the things you've just told me, which is that he apparently lives in a cave and has a dog. So I'm going to kill him. None of those things are adding up to things that I would find pleasurable, except for the dog. Plus, he's like a green furry guy. So also is not very attractive.
Yeah, I don't want to think about a Grinch dick, though. It's true.
Oh, my God. Oh. I just like my... It clenched shut.
Was it a tighter clinch though than the shirt dress for bed, because that's a tighter clinch for me. That's pretty clinchy.
Yeah. Ooh, it's all bad.
No, but the green fur, I just kind of feel like I'm like, it's going to be dead bedroom, our marriage, for sure.
He's going to have like a dog rocket.
Yes. That's what I was picturing as well. That's what I was picturing. And here's the thing, though, too, Christina.
Like, it's Christmassy. It's red.
Christina, you're saying that, like, you're going to have a dry marriage. However, look, that we were discussing this before we settled on who we were going to fuck, marry, kill. There are some holiday characters that are asexual. I don't think the Grinch is one of those characters. Like, the Grinch fucks, for sure.
Oh, God.
So, I don't think. I'm just saying.
Oh no.
Am I wrong? Like, he has vibes that I'm like, no, you're not an asexual Christmas character.
Oh no.
So I'm sorry if I just ruined that for everybody, but
yeah.
I hate everything about this. I'm going to fuck Ebenezer. Just I feel like it'll be quick and over with fast.
It's a missionary three pumps. You're done.
And that's great. Done over quick.
Yep.
Moving on with my life with Frank Scott.
Cross.
Scott. Wait, what is it?
Cross. Cross.
Frost?
C-R-O-S-S.
Cross. Got it. Frank Cross. Scrooged. I'm going to marry him. Because that seems, I mean, he does come around in the end. And who doesn't love Bill Murray?
You're going to have so much, there's going to be so much 80s partying happening, for sure.
Shoulder
so much
pads.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, but I was like, maybe not. But I'm like, you know, like.
I mean, 80s partying, how do you not say cocaine?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of glass tables and cocaine involved in that relationship, for sure.
So many. So many mirrors and razor blades.
Oh my God.
Oh no. Oh God. Oh, gosh, no. You know, this was probably the most cursed fuck, marry, kill we've ever done. Like, I feel like I need a shower.
It's horrible.
After
yeah.
I do too.
This conversation. Like, I am so uncomfortable.
You guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
1 second. We actually have a new patron.
Oh, yay.
So I want to give a shout out to Alyssa. Welcome to our Patreon family. We are so excited to have you. Let us know what you think of not only our Bud Light Seltzer review, but also our Crazy in Love bonus movie of Happiest Season. So let us know. And if you have more suggestions, please reach out.
Yay. All right, guys, let's take five and we'll come right back with stories.
Sounds good.
And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off with some holiday stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So this holiday story actually won for, we had a little contest to get stories within a week. You know, people sent in stories and this one was our winner for that. This is a submission that we got through our Instagram.
Awesome.
So this all happened to me when I met my then boyfriend, dad, and stepmom for the very first time. We live in Wisconsin and they live in South Dakota. They have horses with a bunch of acres. We decided to go on a horseback ride to get to know each other better. And it's just something fun to do. It was a great hour-long ride with a great conversation. We get back to the house stable and I realize I don't know how to dismount a horse. Girl, same.
I've went horseback riding once. I was just gonna say, like,
thank you.
it's fine, but it's like, it's way more uncomfortable than I thought it was going to be. It's not like,
you know,
it kind of hurt
good
it
on
does
the crotch
kind of
region.
Hurt and especially like I have ridden a horse without a saddle before. That is the most uncomfortable thing in the world, like not having any kind of like, it's already uncomfortable riding a horse, but like without a saddle, geez.
Oh my God.
No, thank you. I lean forward and my bra hooks itself to the horn of the saddle while I'm dismounting and my shirt and bra come off. I'm stuck with my sweatshirt over my head, bra broken, boobs out. All I could hear was my now father-in-law laughing and saying, "This isn't Sturgis." I spent the rest of the day without a bra. And we have never spoken about that incident since.
That's hilarious. Oh, you know what? At least she's married into a family where they don't do what they did to Cinderubby and tell that story every chance they get. You know what I mean?
So true.
But how mortified.
He's like, "This isn't Sturgis."
How mortified if you just flashed your future in-laws. Like,
oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, tits out for, oh my God. Meeting the in-laws is tough enough, but yeah. Oh my God.
Horrifying. Okay. All right. This one was an email submission. This is a holiday story, but it is not a Christmas story.
Oh,
okay. It says, "Oh my God, ladies, do I have a mortifyingly hilarious meet the parent story for you? It's not strictly holiday themed per se, but it happened over 4th of July weekend, so I'm going to tell you anyway." So a different holiday.
Perfect.
Perfect.
"I met R while studying abroad in Morocco in college in 2004. How romantic. Like, how many Mary-Kate and Ashley movies did I watch where, like, this was the premise? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. My mom met somebody on holiday her senior year of high school. They did those like class trips or whatever in Rome. She still has a picture of him. Her name,
so jealous.
His name was Fernando. Oh, and she was like, "That was the love of my life." I'm like, "Dad's right there."
Every time like, she hears that ABBA song, she's just crying looking at that picture. "I met R while studying abroad in Morocco in college in 2004, and we started dating immediately. I went home after a semester, and he went on to study another semester abroad in a different country. This was before Skype was popular, and neither of us had iPhones or the internet at home, so we mostly wrote each other letters and talked whenever we could drive across town to buy calling cards." Oh my gosh. "Summer 2005 rolled around, and he and I hadn't seen each other in more than 6 months, and I was dying to get to spend some time with him in America. As luck would have it, I was working that summer as a nanny a few hours away from where his parents lived. I arranged with my employers to drive from the city out to the country to visit him over the 4th of July weekend at his parents' house. I was so excited to see him and hold hands in public, something that was frowned upon where we had been in Morocco. And to do all the things that normal couples do in the summer in America. On July 3rd, I drove to R's parents' house and met his mom and little sister, age 15. His dad was away on business, but would be home early the next morning. Because his little sister was a bit promiscuous at the time, and his parents were trying to put the kibosh on that, his mom asked us to sleep separately. I would sleep in the basement in the den, which they had converted to a makeshift bedroom, with a bunk bed, and he would sleep in the RV because his dad is a super crazy early bird, so sleeping on the couch would have meant waking up at like 4 a.m. every day. All was
very nice of him.
All was well that night. His mom was nice. His sister was a surly teenager, as I had expected her to be. Their dog was sweet and cuddly. We ate dinner together, and then he and I went for a long walk in the field behind his parents' house as the sun went down. We stayed outside till super late night and watched the stars come out. Because his parents lived in the middle of nowhere, the sky was just full and sparkling. I'm not really a mushy person, but even I have to admit that it was romantic as fuck."
Yeah, is this like
for
a Hallmark
everything
movie?
About this so far, I'm like, you met right? in Morocco. You wrote letters to each other for 6 full months before going to his parents' country home. You know what I mean? Okay. "We laid on a blanket and made out, etc., under the stars for literally hours. My now 36-year-old body chafes at the thought, but at 21, I was into a multi-hour romantic entanglement under the stars." I still think that's nice if it's with the right person.
Yeah.
"We got ready for bed, and being the rule followers that we are, we went to our separate locations. The bunk bed in my room had a shitty futon mattress on the bottom, so I slept on the top bunk because it had a real mattress, and even at 21, I was unwilling to sleep on a crap mattress. The next morning, R got up super early to meet his dad, who got home from his trip around 6 a.m. His dad is a crazy morning person who usually is wide awake and singing chirpy camp songs by 5 a.m. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is Mm-mm. is our my dad. Oh. Like, that's Mm-mm. legitimately like Ugh. My dad is up at 4 and he's Mm-mm. like playing like his CDs from his collection, Mm-mm. like singing.
My dad
coffee.
Gets up that early it's too. Ridiculous. I'm like, what? Why? You don't have to. I don't understand. So even though he had just gotten off a plane, he was chipper and excited to meet me. Something you should know about me at this point in the story, I am not a morning person, like not even a little bit. Think of the bitchiest person you can think of, then multiply mm-hmm. that by 3, add Medusa's hair and a dash of Cruella DeVille's biting sarcasm, and that's probably close to the way I am in the morning. I have met same. Same. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I have mellowed in my old age. Having a kid helped with that. But I still am not really fully awake until at least 9:30 a.m., regardless of what time I out of mm-hmm. bed. Same. R managed to entertain his dad for a few hours until about 8, but then his dad could no longer wait and, being a bit of a prankster, decided to come wake me up since he had heard...
No. 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 No one, so strangers, right, waking no. me up. Like mm-hmm. ever. That's a terrible thing. Don't ever
I
do that to anybody.
I also just don't like pranks in general. Like, it's just...
Mm-hmm. Same. We know.
He decided to come wake me up since he had heard from R that I am not a morning person, and he thought it would be funny to wake me up and see what my reaction was.
Oh, my God.
Dude. R tried to stop him, but his dad is 6'7", and when he decides to do something, nothing can change his mind. At this point, the beast, that's me, was still completely asleep. You know when you're in that groggy semi-asleep state when you're still dreaming but are at least aware that morning has come and the sun is going to start beaming directly into your face soon? So you might as well get your ass out of bed, but you hunker down and pull the covers over your face and hope it all goes away? Yes, I know exactly what that's like. Mm-hmm. That's how asleep I was. His dad came downstairs quietly, opened the door, and crept up to the side of the bed. You should also know that R is 6'4 and looks and sounds a lot like his dad. So when his dad grabbed the side of the bed and shook it and started singing some godforsaken morning camp song, I reacted in the only way I knew how, by Sir. Making a fist and punching him in the face and shouting from under my snake nest of crazy hair, "Fuck off, I'm sleeping."
Nice.
She also punched him in the face. His dad wow. laughed so hard he snorted and gave himself hiccups. I immediately realized my mistake and died 1,000 times in rapid succession. R came in with a cup of coffee for me and told his dad it served him right, and then snuggled with me while I drank coffee and tried to come up with some semblance of an apology. R assured me that was unnecessary and that his dad had it coming, but I felt like such an asshole. So much for making a good impression, I thought. By the time I got out of bed and headed upstairs, his mom was up. She is also famously not a morning person. So I had to eat breakfast while his dad regaled her with the tale. When he got to the literal punchline, I told her I shouted the F-bomb at him. I was beet red and mortified all over again, but she gave him the most withering smile I have ever seen and told him that he was lucky he had done it to me and not to her. Then she patted my arm and told me that next time I should hit him harder and aim for the nose. I was already pretty set on being with R forever, but that morning really sealed the deal for me. We got engaged the next year and have been married for 13 years now. We have a kid now and his sister does too, so we've cleaned up our language around them, but for years, every time we were with them, his dad and I would greet each other in the morning by saying, "Fuck off, I'm sleeping." love the podcast. Awesome. It's been such a great respite during pandemic times as I attempt to telework full-time and also manage virtual dual language kindergarten. Feel free to use my wow. first name, XO Kristen.
Yay. Oh, awesome. Oh my gosh. I love a Me happy too. Ending. But yeah, I actually feel like, because Eric's dad is like that too. Like, he prefers to be like called out. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that she did punch him and stand up for herself, like, probably endeared her to him.
That's,
you know?
So not my personality mm-hmm. type, though. Like, I mean, if I thought it was the guy I'm dating, then maybe. But if I'd known, I would never. Sure. intentionally, like a parent, any parent, even your parents, like no one, like, you know, certainly not. Mm-hmm.
Fuck off, I'm sleeping. No. That's awesome. Okay. Mine's from Reddit. And this is the story of the first time I visited my in-laws for an all-family get-together for the holidays. We were all staying at my boyfriend's parents. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law were also visiting with their kids, and we were all staying at the father-in-law and mother-in-law's house. It was all great. The only issue is that there was only one guest bathroom for all six guests.
No.
So we all had to take turns to shower / use the bathroom and not take too long and be considerate of the others. Well, one morning I get up a bit late, so I wasn't able to use the restroom before we all left for a road trip. Issue is, I was ready to go, number two. So,
oh no.
I figured, okay, no biggie. The urge will go away when I'm distracted or whatever. And if push comes to shove, I can just use the restroom wherever we're
Everyone
going,
has
right?
been in that situation where you're like, you know what? Just don't think about it. Just don't think about it and it'll just go away.
It will not.
To make it worse, we were out for a good 12 hours at least. We went to tourist areas, restaurant, shopping center, you
Are
name
you
it.
Are you okay? And I was this still- person's going to be hospitalized 12 hours?
Still walking like a penguin trying to keep this prairie dog and log
inside of me. Oh, no.
So finally we come back to the house and of course everybody and their mother needs to use the bathroom, shower before bed, etc. So again, I wait patiently. What's one more hour after waiting all day?
Where were you where there were no bathrooms? Where were you?
That's my question.
Oh, I think she explains that she has shy bladder and she wasn't able to poop in a public bathroom. Because I have that too. You know what I mean? When you know you have to really poop.
Like stage fright.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, exactly. I don't think anybody wants to do that. But I'm like, it has to be preferable to like being in pain for 12 hours.
Oh, finally. Everyone is done and in bed. And I went to use the toilet. I let it all out. And guys, this is no ordinary log. This is no ordinary log.
No.
This thing is huge. We are talking, shit you not, this was the girth of a soda can.
What?
And if you think this isn't bad enough, it was so...
There's no poop available.
It was so long... that it went into the toilet hole and it came out of the water.
Oh, no.
You got a breach. We got a breacher.
Oh, I hate this.
Okay, not bad for over 13 hours of holding it in, right? Well, now, flush, dang it. Nope, the damn thing would not flush. I can hear someone coming out of a room and going towards the bathroom. And at this point, I start to panic.
Get out of here.
I figured I can call my boyfriend and have him come in and help me with this issue. I should have had a poop knife, I guess. But it was nighttime and I didn't want to wake up anyone. So I figured best way is to just leave Nessie there and go find my boyfriend and have him help me troubleshoot the problem.
No.
So I armed myself with courage and opened the door to go find my boyfriend. First thing I see when I open the door is my brother-in-law, who is patiently waiting in line to use the bathroom.
Mm-mm.
I felt all the blood rush to my face and my ears get hot. I look down, don't say anything, and sheepishly walk away.
No. At that point, you go back into... I don't care how rude it seems. You go back into the bathroom and you lock that door. Actually, I wasn't done. Sorry. And you try and troubleshoot another problem. You find a workaround, honey. No.
He went in. I heard him gasp and immediately turn around.
No. Oh.
I went to the room and told my boyfriend. friend who didn't say anything, but his face said it all. The next morning, I made sure to not leave the room until my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and kids had left. I told my boyfriend to just tell them I wasn't feeling well so that I didn't have to say goodbye to them. I'm glad I only see them once every other year because hopefully by then he would have forgot about my friend.
No, he's never forgetting. Never. I would never forget this situation. It would live in my brain forever, mm-hmm. and I probably would bring it up again.
A poop so big it made him gasp. And then just leave. He's like, you know what? I don't even have to go.
What?
Never mind.
To just walk away. Like, I'm still trying to contemplate, like, what was she thinking? Where she was just like, you know what? I'll just, like, that's another level of avoidance. Like, that is a whole nother level of avoidance. Where she's just like, you know what?
It's a problem for future me.
I'm just going to walk away. Yeah. I'm going to compartmentalize. I'm going to put this into a part of my brain I don't have to deal with and just stay in this bedroom.
Maybe he'll think it wasn't me.
Well, you know what?
All part of the mental gymnastics.
Moral of the story.
Oh my God.
Go in public.
Poop night.
No.
Dude, you guys, we need to get a Meyer State.
No,
poop
we
knife.
Don't. Apparently. Oh. I put my foot down, Christina. No. No.
Available for Christmas.
I could only Ew, see doing it for like a limited time. Special edition. No. Special collector's item. That's it. And then we forget it ever happened.
My God. If enough people write in, and please make sure if you do, make sure to write it in the reviews. So if enough people write in, we're making that happen. If y'all want poop knives.
Oh my God. I don't want my name associated with a poop knife.
Oh my God, Keegan, could you
imagine?
It's
going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Your friends from high school.
No, yeah. It's not in my brand. My brand is aggressively anti-poop. Well, I guess not anymore.
Aggressively anti-fart, aggressively anti-poop.
Not anymore since being on this podcast, I guess, since we've had numerous poop and fart stories.
Oh my gosh. I'm ready for this crazy in love. I saw that Chuck was helping you out with it this morning.
Dude. So I'm trying to the thing about doing crazy in love, I love doing it. Mm-hmm. The thing that is always, I don't know for you guys if this tracks, but like the thing that I always find the most difficult is like the putting it together, right? We've talked about this where it's like, how do I want to tell the story? Like in what order? Like, where do I want to begin the story? Where do I want to, you know, fit this in? Or how do I want to put it together? So that's kind of what I was doing because I have literally two notebooks of notes.
Oh dear.
One was like the original set, and then this was like me kind of putting it all together, kind of how I wanted to.
I can't believe that both of you write your notes by hand. Like, because
I can't believe you type them. I'm so much faster.
Oh, see, I'm so much faster at typing, and then you can do things like just move paragraphs around rather than like having to start a whole new notebook.
I also, for me, it's harder for me to read.
Sure.
It's easier for me to read it on paper for some reason.
I think I'm the weird one here for sure. So, yeah.
You've seen my notes. They're not even full sentences. They're like, they're so disjointed. It's just a page I can look at that has the main things, and then I just kind of wing it.
And it depends on the story I'm telling, too, because sometimes it will just be bullet points like you do, Christina.
Yeah.
Like that sometimes is my notes. And then sometimes it's like I want it to just be bullet points. And then it ends up being like this. That's exactly how it started. I wanted it to just be simple bullet points for me to tell.
Well, that means this is involved. So I'm excited.
We are.
Yeah. Same.
Well, I will start by telling you I got most of my information from a Vice article by Michael Segalov. A BBC News article, and I'm pretty sure I'm now on a watch list for watching a backwards. Do you know when you like find something that's so fucking bootlegged that
it's
actually
mirrored
in reverse?
Yes.
So the words are yes. That's what happened on this episode of Critical Evidence with Robbie Coltrane.
Your computer has a virus now, just like
yeah no, my phone definitely does. Yeah, no. So here's the story of Samina Imam. I don't know if you guys know this.
Yes, it's
Samina Imam.
Yes, it's I was just looking.
If you found this on another show, I swear to God, I was like,
not,
I looked.
It's not
everywhere.
On
the
show. It was on a list.
Oh, a listicle?
A listicle.
Oh, okay.
I saw it and I had bookmarked that listicle because there's another one on there. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I think I'll do it. But I looked at her case.
It's very interesting. So it all started Christmas Eve, 2014. Samina goes to the Mark and Spencer's local market. This takes place in England, by the way. We're just outside Coventry, England. She goes to the Mark and Spencer's, which is kind of like a Duane Reade or
I don't know what Duane Reade is either.
Me either.
Like a CVS, okay. Walgreens, okay. Type of situation.
Oh, yeah.
So like a Mark and Spencer's, grabs a bottle of Bellini, some snacks. She's stocking up to go to a room that she has rented for tonight, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, to spend with her lover at Malmaison. Malmaison is this really rad like hotel. It's kind of like a boutique hotel. It's in there's multiple locations, but the one they're going to is in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And that one, they have like a couple like really cool like specialty suites. It's a really, really nice kind of posh place. So this is her big plans. She's going to spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with Halaba. finally, this is somebody she's been seeing for 2 years, and they have been keeping their relationship a secret for these past 2 years. And this is going to mark like the beginning of making their relationship official.
Why were they keeping it a secret?
Samina is.
Oh, okay.
I will
tell
you. Wait for it. I will tell you, though. Samina is a 34-year-old with a great career. She has strong family bonds and a really strong friend group. She's a regional manager. So she takes care of a region of Costco's in this area of England. So she takes care of like multiple stores, right? Multiple locations. She's making upwards of like a 6-figure salary at the time. She's, really doing really, really well for herself. She's, just a single woman and she's doing the damn thing. She manages, like I said, many stores in this region. She's always reliable. She's considerate with her family. And so when her family becomes concerned, when she doesn't arrive to the family dinner in which they were planning to celebrate on Boxing Day. So Boxing Day, as you know,
is the 26th. Yeah.
Right. It's the day after Christmas in which, a lot of people celebrate as a holiday as well. So, but it's very common in England. And so her plans were to spend this evening, like I said, these nights with her, the guy she'd been seeing, and then she was coming home to spend Boxing Day with the family, and that was their big day to celebrate, right? So when she doesn't turn up, her family's like, this is not Samina. Like, this is not her. She is super reliable. She's a, she's a career woman. This isn't like, we're not talking about some kid who like, got drunk, fell asleep, didn't show up. Like, this is a responsible 34-year-old adult who did not come to a family celebration. This is just, and it's completely out of character. And fortunately, the police actually take this disappearance very seriously. So they immediately start to investigate this odd disappearance and start to talk to some of her friends, talk to some of her family. And, her family knows that she had plans on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but they're not really certain exactly what those plans were. And some of her friends are like, yeah, we know that she was planning on staying at Malmaison, but, and we know that she was kind of seen by somebody, but it was like in secret. I know this was like a secret romance. And we don't really know the guy's name. I think it might be Roger, right? So that's as much as they're getting.
2 years. In a secret relationship, and you haven't even told your close friends his first name?
Yeah, dude, I was telling you guys after like 2 days. You know?
Yeah.
You guys knew all of the deeds.
Well, we wouldn't allow it otherwise.
Right.
And I think her closest friends did kind of know at least enough to know the guy's first name, but it's not like they ever spent time together. This is definitely was a secret relationship. She was leading like a kind of almost a secret life, right? So they're like, okay, well, she was working at the Coventry Costco on the day, the last day that we know that she was around. So let's start there. Let's go find out maybe some of her coworkers, see if anybody knows anything about like where she may have gone after she got off work that day. So they go to the Coventry location and they meet with the manager. The guy's name is Roger Cooper. So they're like, that's interesting that this guy's name is Roger. They were working together and the person who she's supposedly maybe seen is named Roger. So he just, the DS flat out is like, hey, are you guys dating? And he's like, yeah, well, we were dating, but we just broke up.
Suspish.
Totally suspicious. But also he's just like, yeah, we broken up, but she wasn't very happy about it. But yeah, here we are. And so they're like, okay. So they check out this video surveillance. They see that he leaves before her. And then they see minutes later her leaving the same Costco location. They find out that this is the secret boyfriend that she was supposed to be spending those days with. Roger had a significant relationship, a long-term relationship. He wasn't married, but it was a long-term relationship that he's been in for a very long time. Plus, the other big reason that they'd been keeping the relationship secret is because Costco has a really, really adamant, strong policy against dating, especially, I guess, within management.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a non-fraternization policy within their company. I'm pretty certain, like, if you worked in, you know, toiletries and warehouse, you probably aren't going to not be able to date the other.
Right.
You know,
it's just because they're both managers. Are they both managers?
Right. He's the store manager.
So technically she would be like his boss. Okay.
Kind of. Yeah. That's the way I would imagine it too in my world. Cause that's kind of how it would normally work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but the other thing too is I have to ask. So if Anthony or Chris came up to you and was like, oh, I have to go away for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
I mean, he must have framed it as though he was working, I would imagine. Like, I've got to go to this work thing. But like, what company has work?
Well, I think you quickly find out that he has no plans to do this at all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like he's told the police too. He's like, yeah, no, she'd been planning this. She'd booked this over a month ago, but we've broken up since then. And so, yeah, I wasn't going to go.
Yeah. There's no way you could get away.
I don't see how it would work. The only thing that you could make up was something to do with your job, but most jobs allow for you to be off on Christmas, you know?
Well,
yeah.
In Samina's mind, she's like, we're literally not going to be a secret relationship anymore. So she's like, he has broken it off with his long-term girlfriend. We are saying, fuck it, you know, and just, we're doing this. It's finally time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to commit to having a relationship. So in her mind, that's where she's at, right? In his mind, he's like, nah, we broke
nah,
up.
Nah, fam.
But Roger is really open with the police. He shares it had been kept secret, of course, because like I said, he had a longtime partner. Plus, of course, the store policy. He also, during the interview, you know, when they were like, when was the last time you saw her? He was like, at the store that night. Christmas Eve, I actually spent running to my brother's place in Leicester because he had like Star Wars figurine or something that I needed to pick up, like a holiday gift, right? So he's like, that's how I spent my evening, was I was in Leicester. You can ask my brother. They're like, we're gonna do that.
Will do, champ.
Mm-hmm.
Will do. So he also, during this interview, is like incredibly upset So the interview is literally just to find out like where he's been, like what he knows. It's a very simple interview. But during the interview, when they're like, where do you think she may be? He's like, I don't know. Maybe she's with friends. Maybe she decided. And he's like, starts like tearing up to the point that he starts like sobbing, to the point that he is blowing his nose, snot nose.
The police crying. Are just standing there with their notebooks. They're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like right now she's just missing. So, you know.
So, right. Exactly. And that's what they're saying. They're like, at this point, we're just like trying to find out where she's at. Like we are, have no, nothing. Like right. We're just literally like, what's going on? And he is losing it, like crying, like losing his mind because she's missing.
The guilt gonna eat you up.
It is. Oh yeah, so he's, when they ask him where he assumes that she may be, he suspects that she might be on holiday with some friends. They're not really understanding why he's so upset. He's also sharing messages with the police, possibly like the last message that Samina may have sent. And in this text message, it's just like, you know, she's very upset and is just like, you know what? Basically, fuck you. I'm going to go spend my time with people who care about me. That was the last text message that he got from her. This text message, too, like the way he's showing it, it's all like incoming messages from Samina.
So he erased everything that he sent to her? That's not suspicious at all. Like, dude.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Even though like the texts that she sent obviously are responses to.
Dude, if okay. Texts,
like, and not also, just, do people not understand that those don't go away?
Right. Like, and all you've done is make yourself look way more suspicious now. Like, right.
Yep.
So, this kind of goes quiet for like a couple days. Like they're not really getting anywhere. They interview her, Roger's brother, David. David is ex-military for the English government. So he's, you know, but he, you know, props up the alibi, which is that he did come there. So he's like, yeah, no, my brother was here. He wasn't, you know, like right after work, this is where he came. He was here by this time. All's good. We're all great. It's all gravy. Meanwhile, they find the car in Luton, which is 60 miles from Coventry. There's, when they go through the car, because the car has been missing, right? So she's missing, car's missing. Where is she? What's going on? They find the car in Luton. They're going through the car and they search everywhere. Her bag is missing. She'd had a packed bag for her overnight stay. She had her groceries that she'd gotten at Marks and Spencer. So, I mean, she had the Bellini, that's all missing. Everything that she's purchased missing. Her purse is gone. Any evidence of her like being in that car from this trip is missing, right? So it's all gone, which isn't like necessarily super suspicious because like if you park your car, you're not going to leave all that stuff in it if you're going somewhere. But she's also not there, at no plans to be in Luton. Like this is just really a bizarre thing, right? So they go through it with forensics. They do the, you know, fingerprinting. They go through the whole car. There are no fingerprints. Literally,
kay.
No fingerprints. Well,
that's, so that's not only, my car.
It's no one's car, apparently, exactly. Because no prints at all of anyone's. So they're like, okay, this clearly has been wiped the fuck down. The other thing that they noticed right away is that she's 5'2". Okay. I'm 5'4". Mm-hmm. Keegan, 5'4". They notice right away that her car seat
pushed
in her
all
car
the way back
is pushed almost mm-hmm. to the.
Yeah, no yeah. way.
So that's not going to happen. Here's the other thing. Now, we have a friend who is, you can delete her name if you want. Mackenzie is like maybe 5'3", mm-hmm. 5'2", 5'3". She's just shorter than you and I. Now, she scoots her car, her seat so close to the steering wheel that she could drive with her chest. She could like literally just put her tongue out of her mouth and drive the car. It's so close. Mm-hmm. So when she gets out of the car, she does have to scoot her seat back a little bit. Okay. But she doesn't put it back so far. So this is my point. Like, nobody puts their car seat back that far. It's actually would be
no,
harder
it,
to get
it doesn't,
out of the car.
It doesn't make sense. Like, because Anthony and I pretty much share our cars because we have a parking spot in the back and then we have, you know, a street parking spot. Mm-hmm. So if only one of us is going somewhere, whichever car is parked in the back is the car that we take. So we take each other's cars all the time. Mm-hmm. I do pull my seat pretty far forward when I'm driving, and Anthony pulls his pretty far backwards. Like, so we are constantly mm-hmm. having to adjust those seats. There is, even if you had to pull your seat back a little bit to get out, there's no reason that you would pull it.
Not like that.
No, there's not no like reason. That. It doesn't make sense.
Not that far back. Right. So they're automatically like, this is the thing that I found very interesting, which is that the police in England were like, this is no longer a missing person case. This is a murder with no body case, which I don't think I've ever heard of happening in the States.
Well,
like not with that kind of evidence.
That amount
like,
of evidence.
I feel like people would be like, she just didn't feel like coming home.
Well,
sorry.
And,
like, I feel like you hear that a lot more here.
I feel like even if detectives had suspicions that this was a murder at this point, to me, this seems kind of early to be saying it's a murder. Like, it's definitely suspicious, and you can say,
murder,
like,
no body.
We have suspicions that, like, she is in danger, or we're keeping all possibilities right. open. But I actually think it's odd that you would jump straight to this is a murder, because you don't really know that right now.
Yeah, so sure. far she's just
she could have been kidnapped. I mean, you don't know.
And her car is, yeah.
Right. Well, but this is also 6 days in. Oh. So you're looking at like multiple days in. Nobody's asked for like any money, right? So,
but I mean, then I you mean, have the, but you have like the Ariel unlikely. Castros of the world, right? Who like kidnap people and keep them locked in their house for 20 years. I mean, not to say that that's a likely mm-hmm. scenario, but it just does seem strange after 6 days to automatically be like, nah, it's murder for sure. You know, I just think it's odd.
Yeah. I mean, I also thought it was weird. Like I said, I think it is weird. It's funny because it does feel like one extreme
yeah,
to the other.
Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
say it that way. You know, like what you're saying. So again, they're, you know, interviewing everyone. They're like, okay, this is beyond like at this point, we just know that this is not just a, hey, she's missing. We don't know what happened to her. She may be on holiday with friends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's the point is like, they're taking
which
it
I
very,
do appreciate if you have to err on the side of one or the other. I mean,
yeah, exactly. This yeah, exactly. one's much yes. more preferable. Yeah.
So they do a little bit of digging and they're like, okay, it's 2014 at this point. I mean, so we're able to dig into some like, you know, not just typical, like, you know, fingerprint analysis. We can actually do more digital analysis than we've ever been able to do before. So they're able to analyze Samina's movements through her phone. And the phone shows her on December 23rd, 4th.
Fourth yep. is Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Thank you. On Christmas Eve. I was like, wait, what day is what? So they show her phone moving along the M69 on the way to Leicester, which is odd because nowhere in her plans would she be going to Leicester. She was supposed to be going to Birmingham to the Malmaison. Why is she on her way to Leicester? Oh, and what's also weird is that's where Roger said he was going, and that's where his brother lives. And oh, it's also odd that Roger's phone is literally right beside hers all the way.
Roger's
to
a terrible criminal.
That's weird.
Yeah.
The
super
worst.
Bad.
Yeah. So during the route, this is actually when Samina's family last hears from her. And at that time, she's on her way to holiday with her friend, Roger. At this time, this is just a little stopover they're going to make. They're going to run over to his brother's because they have to make a quick stop to grab some stuff. And then they will go to the hotel. Right. So she calls her family and is like, hey, family, how are you? I'll see you guys on Boxing Day. How's mom? Her mom's been sick for a while. So she was checking in on her. And her sister said that it was just a really you know, whatever phone call, just like a check-in phone call, and that they she would see them on Boxing Day, which again made it even more suspicious. Like I said, when she didn't show up, she literally just confirmed 2 days before that she would be there. This was not a question, right? So during this same route, they see a return back to Coventry. On the return route, though, her phone is turned off. So in Leicester, her phone is on, but Rogers is off. On the midway point between Leicester and Coventry, her phone is turned back on and his turned off. Wait, did I get that right in the beginning?
I think so.
His is on in Leicester. Midway point, he turns his phone off. His turns off, but her phone turns on suddenly. And his turns off. Then her phone turns off, and then he gets home and he receives a message from her. So basically what he's trying to do is now he's like, wait, I do have her phone. There might be a digital alibi I can set up here. This is when that text message of her being like, I'm very upset. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go spend my time with friends comes in. And she's like, oh, I was at home when I got that. So she was alive last time I saw her.
Using a hat rack, my friend, using the old noggin there to come up with an alibi. This guy's an idiot.
I mean, if only. I mean, this nerd is like literally turns her phone off. Like thinks it can't. Like he is just so oblivious to the idea that they would be able to get that message.
Right.
Anyway, so. Boop, 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 boop. Police suspect that Samina threatened to take the affair public. So at this point, you know, they're hearing what Roger's saying. They're following the digital clues. They are like, this is super sus. The main reason it's sus is because this was a secret relationship. Nobody is supposed to know about it. So now suddenly we know that Samina feels and thinks that this is going to be like revealed. You're telling us that it was never going to be that. It's just like these things aren't matching up, right? Mm-hmm. And so police are just like, they feel like, you know, he probably threatened her, right? Or she probably threatened him and was like, I'm taking this public regardless. And he's like, sure thing, sounds good, let's do it. What they do is that they try to figure out, like, you know, a little bit of like how this could have happened, right? They're like, let's take from that day, and instead of going forward, let's take it back and let's find out, like, from the 23rd moving backward, where their relationship was. What details do we have about their relationship prior to that? And what they're able to find is that there is, you know, communication. There's communication between the two brothers. There's communication between her and Roger all the way through December. So it's like, if they were supposedly broken up, why were they communicating so often? The other thing is that they're like, okay, well, she went to Leicester, so let's take a look at David's house, because that's where they said they went in Leicester, and there's no reason to think that they didn't. So they get the ability to go check out David's house. Here's the thing. Apparently David's house is a tiny little flat, but it's packed full of shit. So he's a hoarder. So they have this tiny hoarder house that they have to go through, and it takes them days to get through it. But they do. Wild, right? They are able to find, though, in his fridge, the Bellini.
Oh my God. Oh my God. These people. Why? Look. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't that drank already? My guy. Exactly. Give it away. Exactly. Gift it for Christmas. Like, why is that still in your house? What's wrong with you?
He forgot about it. He couldn't find it.
Everything's still in this guy's house. So
everything.
And I have to say, look, we all have siblings. And I love my siblings deeply. I cherish mm-hmm. them. I don't cherish them enough to lie about murder for them Like,
no.
And I love them. No. Like, you know, and I would defend my brothers, you know, against many, many things in life. But I am not giving you a fake alibi.
No. Especially to kill your mistress. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and I'm not keeping evidence in my fridge for you, my guy.
No. Mm-hmm. No. So they find that there is enough suspicion. Some of the other evidence they're going through, they watch the car go. They see the car, trace it going along the highway, but the camera won't show enough of the angle. So you can literally only see from the neck down who was driving the car when it was dropped off. So there's all these like things that are adding up to these two guys, right? So the police are like, we're arresting them. Like, there is no reason to think that they are not the people who did this. That's so suspicious. It's all circumstantial, though, and they have no body.
Imagine going
point.
To jail but, because your brother didn't want to tell his girlfriend that he'd been cheating on her for a couple of years. Like,
exactly. They just boiled it down. Yeah.
It's pretty much. Worst. Pretty much. So all this comes in. They arrest both of them. David is freaking out. He's like, I did it. And she came over and they came over. And when she came in, I used chloroform. I just thought I would knock her out, but it actually killed her.
What does this dude have on his brother that is making his brother do all of like bend over backwards for him in this way? Like, why?
Yeah,
it's. Honestly, why? So a friend comes forward and she's like, hey, guys, so here's the other thing. When you guys picked up David to go to prison a couple days before that, he gave me this set of keys that was just really weird. He's like, keep an eye on these. Thought you might want to know. One of the keys goes to an allotment he has over across town. So they go over to the allotment. It's basically just a blank yard with a bunch of shit in it, right? So they're checking out the lot. They go to the back and there's like tarps and stuff all over the place. There's this one tarp that the corner of it has no debris on top. That's weird because all the other tarps have debris across the whole thing. So this one tarp has an area in which it looks like it's been folded up and the debris has been slid down. So they lift it up. They dig in the ground for a little bit and they find the shallow grave of Samina Imam. Now, they find her body has been buried. It's in a zipping bag. What like am I trying to say? Like,
mm-hmm. A dry clean bag?
A sleeping bag.
Oh, sleeping bag.
So she's been wrapped in like cling film, like saran wrap, and in a sleeping bag and buried. So they find her body on. The body, the cling wrap, has fingerprint evidence. So they are able to unequivocally link David to this murder. Well, the problem is they're like, Roger definitely has to be involved. What reason would Dudeface have to kill this girl that his brother brought over? And why would his brother have left?
No, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His girlfriend there. Like, this, like, none of this adds up. Like, this doesn't math, right? So the police are like, how can we connect these two? So this is when, again, like I said, the police start looking at the relationship in a backwards motion. One of the things that they found at the house was, at David's house, was behind a brick in the wall. Again, this is like a hoarder house. So they're finally getting to a place where they see walls, I'm assuming. They find a phone. A toss-away phone that doesn't have a SIM card in it. So it's only able to make like local texts, like just local calls and texts, right? But it still has all of the text messages in it from prior conversation. In these prior conversations, there are texts found on December 11th in which, before that, they also find that he has used his computer to purchase chloroform
David?
On December 8th.
Okay.
Yes. They were. So they found all this. They also found that in the mobile home, that on December 11th, there are communications between his brother and him. The communications are like this: Death Star complete. So this is when it is all like text code. Death Star complete is when David picks up a rental car.
What this is can when I just I can't Samina's let that pass. Hotel. I'm sorry. Death Star complete. Like, these two nerds got together and they were like, we need a code word. And they were like, Death Star sounds good.
Oh, they're all Star
Oh,
Wars
no. Based. Stop it yeah, right now.
It's fun. No. So they realize
the moral
what
of the
finding-
story is do not have a secret relationship with
oh my god, right?
A Star Wars nerd.
Wow, we're getting really specific. Like,
my god. Right.
So what they're finding out basically is these text messages on December 11th are from a plot to kill Samina on the 11th. She was supposed to have gone to a hotel. Again, she travels for work, so she was going to be at a hotel. He was sitting outside her hotel. He gets a message from Roger saying, stay on target, stay on target. You were expected, Vader.
Oh, no.
I...
Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. It's horrible.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but... for some reason, something is taking too long, and at the end of all, at the end of the day, they just abort the mission because it doesn't work out. Like, for some reason, she's running late. Like, the timing doesn't match up. So the whole plot is thrown because they're just not able to do what they set out to do that day. So the whole point in this is that they're like now proving that there has been a plot to kill Samina for.
I'm so confused
month.
By this because,
yeah, I'm like, why is his brother involved or 100% care at all?
Because so you know, bizarre. I can see someone doing mental gymnastics, right? Like in a relationship, they're so petrified to have to come clean. It doesn't make sense even then, not really. But if it's not even your relationship, like, why are you your periphery character? I don't understand why you are so down. To kill somebody to protect yeah. your brother's relationship. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
His long-term relationship, which doesn't make sense because the other side of this coin is that not only had he been having an affair and a relationship with Samina, he'd also been having another relationship with someone else at his Coventry store. So this is of three of the people that he had been seeing at the time. And again, why does David give two shits to get involved to the point where he basically kills her by chloroform? He smothers her with chloroform. And
this
she,
is just somebody who
dies.
Wanted to
that's
kill somebody. Like, I don't see how.
Okay.
He's yeah, like, you have to, excuse. You have to already be inclined to that in order for you to accept this in any way. Like, I don't understand.
It's so weird. I mean, mm-hmm. and on his allotment, this is a weird kind of sidebar that I'd seen, but they said that on the door of the little shed that was in there, there was a sign that was like, don't wind me up. I'm running out of places to bury bodies.
Yeah, this kind of seems like, and it's funny, we talked about it earlier in the episode where it's like, nobody knows you like family. It kind of seems like Roger knew that David had that
itching for a reason
and was yeah. capable of it. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, both of them are given a 30-year minimum sentence through the royal court, and they are both serving that sentence currently. So that happened in 2014. They won't be, Roger was 41, I believe, at the time. So he won't be even eligible to consider parole for 30 years. So until he's 71, it seems like. It's crazy to me. I'm glad that they both received the penalties that they did because technically Roger didn't kill her, but he was part of the plot to murder her.
Yeah, it's just so fucking crazy. Senseless.
It's senseless.
So that's stupid. It's really stupid.
It's completely senseless. You have this woman who honestly you could have just said you could have just broken up with her.
Right. And
honestly.
If and look, let's have. Play that out, right? In his worst case. So he breaks up with her and she exposes him to his girlfriend. Like, yeah, dude, you're in for some uncomfortable conversations, and quite possibly you will lose your girlfriend. Like, that is,
guess what? You're going to lose your girlfriend if you go to prison.
Right. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's so infuriating, because it does, it feels so senseless.
Yeah.
And it's just such a convoluted, like, plot too. Like, you guys put so much effort into
and still sucked.
Kill her.
And still,
yeah,
sucked.
And still sucked at it. Yeah.
It's just absolutely really pathetic, actually. You know? I'm just like, you could watch like 3 Law and Orders and have done better. Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah.
It's shitty. And it sucks because now this family, you know, has a tragedy every holiday. You know, their daughter, their sister, their aunt, you know, was taken from them so callously on Christmas Eve. Like, it's horrible.
Mm. Oh, good one for Christmas. Don't date Star Wars nerds that are in long-term relationships.
It's so hyper-specific.
It is so, it's I very feel like niche. It's a good market,
though. If we can take anything away.
If you can take anything away from it. Mm. Yeah. We're not an advice podcast, but we will give you this piece of
stand behind
advice.
It. Feel solid about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real strong. Oh, well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, I finally finished The Crown. All 4 seasons, just busted it out. You know what I mean? And after that, I was still just itching for some royal news. So I watched Diana in Her Own Words, that documentary.
Oh, isn't that heartbreaking? Ooh. It's so weird to hear. There's something about her voice, too, that's just incredibly...
It's so soft. Yeah,
it's
like,
so
her
personal.
Voice is so, like... It's hard to describe. Like, it's so soft, and it sounds, it's delicate, and it sounds very kind, you know? And I actually have to say that I think Emma Chamberlain, or whatever her name is, who played her in the show, did a great job at that specifically.
Yep.
But it actually was very good. It was very engaging. If you watched season 4 and you kind of wanted to, like, see some of the parallels, they do show a lot of the, like, same exact video clips that they recreated in the show of, like, their press tour and things like that. And yeah, your heart just breaks for this. I think we tend to forget how young she was, like 19 when she got married. Like, that's so crazy, you know? So I would recommend that if you finish The Crown and you're like, "Hey, I'm looking for something else." I would recommend watching that. It was good.
Yeah. Hmm. We are almost done with the Marvel in timeline order.
Nice.
Thing that we were doing. And I told you guys during the break that I binge watched Alien
Worlds. Oh gosh, Alien Worlds is wild.
But yeah, pretty much, yeah, that's it. It's been like one heck of a boring week, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have anything new media wise.
I did rewatch The Shining last night, which begs the question why people thought Jack Nicholson was hot, but we can save that conversation for another day.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
I just watched Queen's Gambit, and you were right. I did like it, and it is so good. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really good.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful to look at. And like,
she hit the lottery on gorgeous, right?
Oh my God, I know.
Chris said she won the Jean lottery.
I think she's Argentinian or something as well.
Her eyes are...
Yeah, she has huge eyes.
Incredible. Like,
and all those costumes and everything, her clothing in that just is like chef's kiss. It's really,
you know, she's
God. Chris said he's like, they need to win some awards.
You know, she's
for this
beautiful
shit.
When she can pull off a haircut that is that short. Like, what's happening? Like, it's cut off like mid ear. It's a bob that's like mid ear length.
It's very Amelie.
I actually have shown you guys the picture of me
with that haircut from my like, junior year of high school, and it's the most you have to have. I look like little Lord Fauntleroy.
You have to have such a pretty face to pull off a haircut like right. that. Like, because there is nothing to hide behind. Like, your face better be so no. beautiful that you can have the Lord Farquaad yep. haircut.
I look like the Dutch boy from the Dutch Boy Pants. That's exactly what I look like with that. Yes, and I've had I've had that haircut as an adult. Oh
my God. Fantastic. Whew. Yeah. Oh, well, if you guys have shows that we should watch, if you have stories to tell, New Year's is coming up next. I know I've had some pretty interesting New Year date stories. Send them to our one-stop shop of website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.